Welcome to ZA Confidential. This is the podcast where we travel down to the Cape and we have a few glugs of something capish, although occasionally we'll go abroad if someone sends us a case. Today we are tasting a red wine, which is something that we haven't done recently. We haven't had a lot of reds recently, so I'm looking forward to it. But before we get on to the wine, let's get on to our tasters. We have Dwayne Newman from COVID Advisory. We have Ian Cruikshanks from the Institute for Race Relations. We have branding superstar guru and jolly nice chap, Jeremy Sampson. And we have Malcolm McDonald from Clientel. But most importantly, we have the man who actually brought along the wine for us to taste. So he's very welcome, Michael Olivier. Michael, welcome and very welcome. And
thanks.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking a wine from Benguela Cove, which is in the Walker Bay wine appellation, quite close to Hermanus. It's on the edges of a lagoon. So very maritime-influenced vineyards. The cellar master there is a chap called Johan Fourie, who, when he was at KWV, was the chief winemaker and made some absolutely superb wines there, particularly the Mentors range, which it was really just such perfect examples of the grape varieties. Now, here, Johan, this is a sort of a classical Bordeaux-style blend led by Cabernet Sauvignon, of which there's 35%. There's 3% Malbec, which people now really don't even regard as a Bordeaux grape. It's gone really well in Australia, and it's doing very well here, too. Then there's Merlot 16%, 13% Petit Verdot, and 13% Cabernet Franc. What Johan does is he vinifies the grapes separately. He oak matures them separately in 45% new oak barrels, and the balance are previous fills, all French oak. And here you've got just everything I think that you could possibly wish for in a Bordeaux style blend. You've got that lovely sort of fruit forward berry flavors, some squashed tomato leaf on the nose as well, and then of course you've got the wood and that lovely sort of support that it gives to all this fruit, and then just an undertow of a sort of kelpy savory note to it. Oh, I can't get my nose out of the glass. It's just so delicious.
I thought you sounded funny.
Yes. Beautifully put together. Really beautifully put together. And it's got this lovely acidity. It's got the oak. It's got great tannins. I mean, it's eminently drinkable now. But of course, being a Bordeaux-style blend, you'd need to put it away for a couple of years to get really the full reward and for all the flavors just to mature a bit and meld. Nice long aftertaste, as I say, everything so perfectly interwoven into it. I think this is a seriously nice glass of wine.
Well, it's very funny, Michael, because when this was first poured, I thought, a little bit aggressive, a little bit harsh. Then I let it sit in the glass for just a few minutes, and all those things that were assaulting me began to embrace and cuddle me. I'm astounded. I, as you probably know, I love Bordeaux blends. I find anything dominated by Cabernet Sauvignon or a good dominatrix to be well worth trying. I follow exactly what you're saying about keeping it for a few more years. I think this can only improve and will improve.
Yeah.
But already, having let it have just those few minutes in the glass, I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah.
But what do I know? Malcolm McDonald.
So, again, when we poured this and I just brought it up to my nose, I was, oh, gosh, this is going to be delicious. Mm. And really it was. I mean, this is why I like red wine.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, all right. Well, after those very lengthy and boring thoughts, we better move on to Dwayne Newman. Dwayne, are you enjoying this?
Yeah, very much so. I really love the blend. Obviously got it just right. There's enough cab in it to give it enough, I suppose, is that a body, the right word?
Okay. Structure.
Strength,
yeah.
Structure. So I think there's enough cab in it, but not to overpower it. I think the other the Malbec and the Merlots are softening it. Okay. So I'm really enjoying it. Would it get better? I think so. I mean, I drank a older bottle of wine on the weekend, 2000. And I remember when I poured that, I go, oh dear, mm-hmm. this is not going to be enjoyable. But once it aired, okay, it was fantastic. Okay, so I think the airing of the wine, and then I think one of our other tastings, we aerated a wine. I think this would also benefit from some aeration.
Yeah, I mean, just literally glugging it into a jug would make such a difference.
In Crookshanks, some things do improve with age, don't they?
Yes, I'd like to support that thought. Up to a limit. When I saw the stores, I thought, that's going to be interesting. I think it'll be good. It fulfilled that. And there's just enough of additions to the Cabernet Sauvignon to smooth it out. I think the Merlot does that admirably. And remind me what the third...
There's Malbec and Petit Verdot as well.
Right. And I think those have helped to develop it sooner than it might as a straight Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
But right now, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
How should one drink it? Doesn't matter. It's whatever. It's just appreciate for what it is.
Yeah.
First class.
Yeah. Good.
Jeremy.
I went to one of the wine tastings you were referring to earlier. I think it might have been Veritas or Old Mutual. And I find that as I go around, my limit's about 8 or 9 wines. And I have to say, the standout wine that I found that evening was, as I was trying new ones, was Benguela Cove.
Mm.
And I've been looking forward to it. I find it fascinating. On the back label, they say that the vines were planted, some of them, in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember the history of Mr. Farid, because I remember he was at KWB, and I don't know if he was there during the difficult times. And then I know master winemaker Richard Rowe was brought out from Margaret Valley and worked with him, and Margaret River rather. And I remember Richard and I worked together a little bit as well. And Richard said, oh, when I leave in 5 years' time, KWB will be in very good hands. And that was this gentleman.
Yeah.
Now, of course, he's moved on, and the lady at KWB is still shooting the lights out for KWB.
Absolutely.
So it's very interesting. But that mentor's range, is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And so KWB has fought its way back as a brand.
Yes.
But Benguela Cove, to me, is one of those that is almost a new South African brand, and it's fantastic.
Mm.
So, Jeremy, you've used the word brand about 500 times in that sentence.
As I do.
This is something I hadn't heard of before. How do you get this on the tip of the tongue of every wine drinker in South Africa? How do you develop that brand, wine brand?
I'm following the man, you see. And this is where I've heard about... And, you know, we were talking in another programme about a certain Mr. Back, and he creates new brands all the time, but you know he's behind it all the time. And likewise here... And Benguela Cove is the latest, and I'm sure there'll be other things will arise later on. But this is a particular person, and so I'm looking at the person as the brand that I can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as one would look at, I don't know, a Miles Mossop or someone like that, a Duncan Savage. Whatever the brand they produce with their name behind it, you know you can trust it.
Absolutely. And interesting enough, the owner of Benguela Cove, a British lady, owns land in Sussex, and Johan Faroui has gone over there and planted a vineyard. And in this vineyard, there is a restaurant which won the second Michelin star for a South African chef.
It's interesting you say that, because I was in England at the end of October, and went down...
End of Sussex, have another glass.
That's right. I wanted to go get down to Mr. Jordan, but I didn't make it. But I was taken to a place called High Clandon in the Surrey Hills.
Mm.
And High Clandon is like a French estate. It's like a big field full of vines, and they claim to have earned more gold medals for bubbles than any other estate in England. And I have to say, it was incredible. And I'm sure no one's heard of High Clandon, but you need to go and find it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But they want the appellation now, the Surrey Hills.
Interesting.
Talking of which, Michael, this is from the Walker Bay region.
Yes.
Not one of our better known wine regions. Where is it, and is it any good?
Okay, well, it's, if you've heard of the Himmel and Arda Valley, that is a sort of substructure of Walker Bay. Walker Bay is essentially Onrus, Clanmont, no, maybe not Clanmont, Onrus, Hermanus, Stanford, De Kelders, Hans Bay, that sort of area. Very maritime, obviously, maritime climate. Wineries, and there's some very good wine being made there. I mean, Tariro Masayiti is making stunning wine. The Himmel and Arda Valley, again, there's some great wines there, although for some reason which escapes me and which I don't really want to know, they've split the valley into three sections. And then a very dear friend of ours, Tim Pearson, owns farm right up at the top of the valley, but he's beyond the official sort of Himmel and Arda Ridge appellation. So he is Overberg Wine of Origin, Seven Springs Winery, where they're also making some great wine. So I think all of those vineyards are all very much maritime affected, particularly the Himmel and Arda Valley. I mean, you can just imagine with nocturnal inversion and the heat rising as this cold air comes whooshing up the valley off the ocean. But yeah, there's some good stuff being made in that region, absolutely.
Duane, have you heard of that region before? Did you know they were making wine and wine of this quality?
No, not as winemakers. I think I've been to Hermanus a lot, but don't remember seeing any signs to wine farms out there.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe I need to be paying more attention.
Well, they should be trying harder.
Yes.
Yeah, probably true, right? So maybe they're marketing and branding, Jeremy, and I think there's an opportunity there for you.
But what we're identifying here is the sub-brand of the region.
Yes.
Exactly that. And, and this is where I read the other day that there are over 4,000 producers in the Champagne area of France. Now, I thought there would probably be about 8 or 9 of the big boys, and that was it. But no, there are 4,000 people who, because they're in Champagne, can produce. Now, in this country, we're beginning to get the tussle, I think, between Stellenbosch and Franschhoek or Elgin or Emmeline Arde or whatever, and it's beginning to develop. And I think the more that happens, last year I was in California, and the debate and the fight between Napa and Sonoma.
Mm.
You go to Napa, they don't talk about Sonoma. You go to Sonoma, they don't talk about Napa. And I'm waiting for that to happen, perhaps in the Western Cape, that people will say, well, I'm from Stellenbosch, but they won't mention any other areas.
Yes.
Because they still seem to think they're the Queen's bees.
Yeah, yeah.
But doesn't that just emphasize the fact that there is a branding deficit? There should be more branding, marketing, however one cares to describe it. But I don't see a TV program and they say, this is the way to appreciate wine from this particular area. And this is the difference between this one and that one. There's a bit of a gap there.
Well, there's the man who should be having a television series.
Yeah.
We've got Rick Stein coming out of our ears. Now his son's doing it as well.
Yes.
But why is no one doing it in South Africa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why isn't Michael Oliphant coming out of our ears?
I think because the television, certainly SATV and DSTV, they're not interested in a South African wine series because they reckon it's too niche.
And they wouldn't get a sponsorship, perhaps.
Although on CakeNet, the Afrikaans channel, you get a lot of food and wine programs.
Yes, you do.
So
you do.
Maybe you'd better learn a new language, Michael.
Can Afrikaans perhaps on the problems?
In fact, I have a daughter-in-law who is very senior at CakeNet. I will mention to her when I see her tomorrow night.
Good.
Well, don't forget, you need a host as well as a dealer. Malcolm, you were about to say something.
I was about to say, possibly syndication internationally of a show like that would change the viability, because I think there would be an appetite for understanding South African wines internationally, rather than maybe the producers of such a show are thinking locally.
And of course, Dwayne, people of our generation, and I know you're the same age as one of my grandchildren might be, but people of a certain maturity tend to turn on the telly and watch telly. Of course, there's a whole generation which is emerging now, which watches entertainment on their phones, on their laptops, all sorts of other devices. So the idea that one might be chained to a channel or to a particular way of delivering a message is getting fairly antiquated, as indeed are most of our guests today.
Thank you, John.
I mean, you see these days, I mean, Netflix and how they push out content. I think it's obviously it's changed, right? I think even in the South African context, with, I mean, even DTI and the National Film and Video Foundation are trying to obviously, support locally made productions. Some better than others, and they've obviously been trying to attract, I suppose, big A-list movie stars to make movies in South Africa. Maybe we need to be thinking about how we use that to support the wine industry, okay? Because I think sometimes you need a brand, maybe beyond the wine, okay? A personality, maybe is the right word to use, okay? Because that seems to be the big thing these days with Instagram and followers and all that stuff. So if you get the right follower who's a supporter of wine, I think it could change overnight.
Just look at what's happening to coffee, wasn't it?
George Clooney.
On his own. He was asked to do it, but has made a complete difference to marketing coffee in South Africa and to the appreciation of it. It's the product that counts. Suddenly amazing. More people drinking coffee. I feel that marketing of it has had a huge impact. And maybe that's what the wine industry needs.
I think he might have been asked to do it, but he certainly would have been paid to do it.
I appreciate that.
Well, moving from wine to coffee, we have clearly outstayed our welcome in this podcast. It just remains for me, as always, to thank our panel of tasters, Dwayne Newman from Cova Advisory, Ian Cruikshanks from the Institute of Race Relations, Jeremy Sampson from Brand Something
Finance,
Brand Finance, and Malcolm McDonald from Clientel, who's also helped us with the technical side of this. Someone I've forgotten now. Who could? Michael Olive here. Michael,
how could you?
Our food and wine guru, who not only introduced us to the wine but brought it along as well. You are welcome anytime, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And just remind us what we've been drinking.
We've been drinking a wine from Walker Bay called Benguela Cove. It's called Collage 2017. It's a Bordeaux style blend, and I think in terms of bang for your buck and what you've got in the bottle, I think 238 rand is a very reasonable price to pay.
I'm John Fraser. That was ZA Confidential.